Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live in the Kia Studios. It is the John Chuckery Show on this Tuesday evening. 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be a part of the show. We ask you to download the Odyssey app since you're not in the car as much but want to listen in. Best way to do it when you're on the go, Odyssey app. Put that on one of your devices today, right? Take your smartphone. Take your Alexa speakers. You can use your tablet. You can use your microwave oven. You can use your Casio watch. You can use your turntable, your boombox, whatever your device is. Just download onto something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media, find us at 929TheGame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. As always, the best way to be a part of the show is to follow us on our personal Twitter pages. I'm at JMCH316. That's your water cooler talking points. 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that's out there. He's at JarvisD90, producing the show, as always. And we will do a rank'em coming up at 1040. We'll talk to Chip Towers here in about 20 minutes as we'll get some more Georgia talk in. Of course, he covers all things UGA for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. This, of course, though, is your night look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. And in an hour from right now, I got my thoughts about the Falcons because this is getting more and more frustrating every week to watch. The same old things plague this franchise. Not just this year, but for the last few years, it's the same old things plaguing this franchise. All right, a couple things to get into. Falcons did make a couple of roster moves today. Dustin Colquitt was let go. Hayden Hurst was brought up from IR, so he is eligible this week, and the Falcons have brought him up. I would most likely guess he's going to play this week. I mean, right, they got Steven Means up and back at it and going. I'm guessing Hayden, look, you need every available body that you can muster out on the field. And I'm laughing a little bit just because, you know, I get people say, oh, you know, Falcons can do this. Falcons can go 5-0 down the stretch. Falcons can go 0-5 down the stretch. If you're that deficient on your lines of scrimmage, you can go one direction or the other. We'll see. Can they beat Carolina? Yep. Can they lose to Carolina? Let's see. What happened on our home field a few weeks ago when Carolina held us to 13 points? Oh, okay. Did we win that game? Oh, we didn't? Oh. Well, you know, Carolina didn't have a good quarterback. They have good quarterback play then. I remember years ago, I remember when Chris Winkie came in here and won a game. What'd they win, like 9-6, and he threw it like six times in an NFL game and they found a way to win? Yeah. Yeah, they can beat Carolina. They can lose. They already lost once to Carolina. What makes you think they can't lose again? Now, a couple of things, grade-wise, and we'll get to some audio here from Arthur Smith and Marlon Davidson. You see where Drew Dolman had the worst grade of any center in the NFL this past week, Pro Football Focus grade. He had the worst grade of any center in the NFL, just as a reminder. And Hennessy was okay, nothing special. No real shock that the Falcons' highest-graded offensive player was Chris Lindstrom. I thought the afternoon producer was crying and moaning about how poorly Lindstrom has played. If you can't understand that Chris Lindstrom, By the way, that's your your afternoon. You know, Lindstrom right now has the fourth highest grade among right guards in the entire of the NFL. He's the fourth. Your afternoon producer. That's who said it, Jarvis. Yeah, he's the fourth highest graded guard in the NFL, and he plays next to two slugs. He's got two jabrones standing beside him at center and right tackle, and he's the fourth highest graded guard in the NFL. So even if you don't like Pro Football Focus, okay, you have to be pretty good to still be the fourth highest graded guard, and you've got two, you know, jamokes that are standing next to you because that's what he's got. Who rotates centers in the NFL? Again, that's James Stone and Mike Person. That's the last time I remember centers getting rotated in an NFL game. You know how they say if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one? If you have two centers, you don't have one. Everybody can spin it all the stuff that they want. But Dahlman graded out the worst offensive center or the worst center in the league this past week. Lindstrom still a nightmare at left guard. Yeah, it's rough. And again, here's what else I'm going to hear. Well, Eric Harris is in the right position. Yeah, he's in position to get trucked by a running back. He's in position to miss an open field tackle. And he's in position to get chucked off the line by Gronk and not be able to cover him or everybody else that he covers. It's great that he's in position. What's he in position to do? Because he can't make a play to save his life. Can't. And every week, it's the same thing every week. Yep, you know, here we go. Here's Eric Harris. Can't cover this guy. 15-yard penalty. Running back stiff arms him. Miss an open field tackle. Yeah, but he's in the right spot. Great. Can he start making some plays if you're going to start him? You know, he's played like you see this, Jarvis? You know, Eric Harris has played like 96% of the snaps on defense this year. Have you seen that stat? Him and Daron Harmon are above 95% of the snaps this year on defense. Daron Harmon and Eric Harris, that's the worst safety combination I've seen in 50 freaking years of the NFL. In 50 years of being alive on this earth, that's the worst twosome of safeties. And I don't give a damn if Dean Pease is listening right now or not. That's the worst twosome of safeties ever. Hell, I'd rather they bring Charles Dimry back. Play defensive back out there. It's just frustrating because it's the same things everywhere. Yeah, when you play the below average teams that stink. There were times in that Jacksonville game a couple weeks ago when, and you weren't here last week, we talked about it. Jarvis, there were times in that Jacksonville game, Jacksonville didn't look like an NFL team. They legitimately did not look like an NFL team on the field. Like, that's not how an NFL team is supposed to look. They didn't look like that at the time. Give the Falcons credit. They took advantage and win. But you're gonna have to start getting better against some of the better teams in the league. You were basically outscored 30-10 in that game. Because Davidson's got the one touchdown. That made it 30-17. Couldn't do nothing. All right, let's get some audio real quick here. Here's the head coach talking about Carolina changing OCs. Now Joe Brady's gone up there, so he's the fall guy out of all of this. And will it make any difference?
It'll be a tough divisional game, no matter what's going on over there. We kind of worry about ourselves. We understand who they've got. It's not all of a sudden overnight you're going to see some completely new offense or anything like that. So we got to be ready to go. I mean, we didn't do a good enough job talking about finishing drives in Carolina and situational football, which cost us a game.
You couldn't score, right? They've got a really good defense. You couldn't score against them. You got held to 13 points on your home field. Yeah, you only lost by one score, but again, I'll click on ESPN and maybe the result will be different now than it was a few weeks ago. You scored 13 on your field. How many games week by week by week in the NFL are you going to win scoring 13 points? Why do you think Jacksonville's in the position that they're at when they're scoring 15.9 points a game? Here's Arthur talking about they still feel like they have a chance.
No, nobody's happy to be 5-7, but you're not out of it. And so we have a huge game on Sunday. And we'd like to say, hey, last 2 weeks we're starting to trend into the kind of offense, more into the offense where we want to be stylistically in balance. And so this is a big game for Sunday.
Yeah, they're still in it because the NFC stinks. you know, being the nicest guy in prison isn't necessarily the war that you're trying to win, right? They're in it because the rest of the NFC is stinking. But let me ask you a question. You think that the Falcons, if they lined up against Arizona, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, have any shot right now? Dallas, do they have any shot right now? Legitimately, do they have a shot to beat Minnesota and the Bears and the Lions? You know, and the Giants? Yeah, they can beat all of those teams. What would they? What are they going to do against when they see Green Bay, Arizona, Dallas, and Tampa? They'll get run off the field like they have all year long against the good teams. Here's Arthur talking about continuing to rotate at center.
Well, we'll see what the game plan, how it goes, D-led. Obviously, we went with Matt in the second half. We felt that was best as the game went. It's not an indictment on Drew. Drew's played some decent football when we asked him to. We just needed to, you know, that's a tough matchup inside, and we went with the hot hand in the second half. And we'll just continue to evaluate that.
You went with Hennessy. You went with Hennessy in the second half because your center had two bad snaps and the lowest grade in of anybody at that position in the NFL. Christ, how hard of a decision is that to make? He's got the worst grade of anybody at his position in the league, and he had two awful snaps that you're lucky you pounced on and didn't turn the football over. How tough is that? Hell, I could have made that. I'd make that sitting here in the Kia Studios. Make that decision. Let's see. He's the worst-looking center in the league, getting pushed around, and two awful snaps that almost caused me turnovers. Hey, Hennessy, come on in, big guy. How tough is that? Jarvis, I'll never forget this. On draft day, when they drafted Dolman, I was on air on that Sunday when they drafted Dolman. A Saturday, I think it was, when they drafted Dolman. I had a guy on my Twitter page try to tell me how Drew Dolman profiled like Nick Mangold. Jarvis just threw up in studio. I had a guy on my Twitter page tell me Drew Dolman profiled like Nick Mangold. I said, are you kidding me? That makes me want to quit the business. Here's Marlon Davidson talking about the Falcons are a playoff team.
I mean, I just feel like every game we always like right there. You know what I mean? We always right there. I feel like something that we can change is just one little tweak or one little play could change the whole game. You know what I mean? And like, you know, man, with the guys that we got in our room, the guys that come to work every day, we're a playoff team. We are. And I mean, we just have to put it out there on display every Sunday. You know what I mean? We got to win football games. That's the biggest thing.
Okay, here's the only problem, though. In their six losses before Sunday, their average margin of loss was 21 points. Your average defeat is by 3 touchdowns. That's not missing out by a play. You lost by 1 score to Washington, lost by 1 score to Carolina. But you were beat by 26 by Philadelphia, 25 by New England, 40 by the Cowboys, 23 by Tampa, and then they lost by, what was it, Jarvis? 2 touchdowns on Sunday as well, 30-17 was the final. 41-24. So you're basically losing by 3 touchdowns when you lose. That's a lot more than just one play. I get what he's saying, but when you've won, you've managed a way to win your close games. Problem is when you lose, you get blown out by teams. Here's Davidson talking about how he feels like he's still growing.
This is not what I'm going to be in 2 or 3 years. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be this size. I'm not going to be none of this. Like, coming into this year, you know, finishing this year strong, still doing the little things like on the Mondays, the Tuesdays, the light days, you know, trying to get myself, make sure that my knees are good, everything on my body good, strong, whatever I can do. You know what I mean? That's what I'm doing.
I'm rooting hard for Marlon Davidson. That's another second-round defensive line pick that this franchise made. You can't afford to just keep missing on those kinds of guys. Can't just keep going down the well of, well, we tried. Listen, I'm telling you, I am absolutely positively rooting for Marlon Davidson to continue to grow, get better, get bigger, get stronger, get faster, get better, become a, they have to. It can't just continue to be Grady Jarrett and let's hope for the best. That's what it is. And guess what? In 2 years, that 97 cap may not be here. And I'm going to sit here and tell you, and Jarvis and I have said this over and over. I think you're at best 50-50 that he comes back to this franchise. I think it's 50-50 that he signs a long-term extension to play for this franchise. And that is your best defensive player. He is your best defensive player on this squad. I hope I'm wrong, and I'll gladly admit that I'm wrong. Gladly admit that I'm wrong that he signed a long-term deal and is going to be here for the rest of his career. I'll gladly say that I was wrong about that. Right now, my gut tells me that it's 50-50 that he's here. We'll see. Don't worry, I got more to rant about coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get to all of that. Next, though, we got Chip Towers joining us. We'll talk some more Georgia football with him as they get ready for New Year's Eve and the national semifinal. Sports Radio, not the game. Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show, live on this Tuesday evening. Still talking about, obviously, the fallout from the SEC championship game, but we also do look ahead as Georgia and Michigan will hook up in the national semifinal coming up on December 31st. New Year's Eve, of course, they will be in Miami for the game. Let's head out to the WadeForIt.com hotline. Let's talk to our guy that covers all things Georgia Bulldogs for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Chip Towers joins us. Of course, you can follow Chip on Twitter, at CTowersAJC. AJC.com is where you have all your information to follow along with what's going on with the Dogs as they get ready for the national semifinal game, as we said. Chip, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Not a good fun time on Saturday, but we got to turn the page and get ready for Michigan now.
Yeah, that was, surprisingly bad. I mean, I wasn't surprised that Georgia lost to Alabama. Certainly, I knew Alabama was capable of that, but I certainly didn't expect it to go the way it went, which is, basically a blowout and really a defensive breakdown mostly. In the game and that was that. But, as you alluded to, their consolation prize is the college football playoff semifinal and the Orange Bowl. That's a pretty good consolation prize. So, I don't know how much you can do in 3 weeks. I know you can't, get the new cornerbacks out of the transfer portal or, might be just a matter of time before you can do that, or certainly not a cornerback, or if JT Daniels can suddenly get well or whatever the issue is there. But there is time to fix it, and there's many examples of, great redemption stories in the middle of the season. So Georgia's full concentration is on Michigan, or at least it better be. But then if they can somehow get past that game, and they're favored, then, Alabama surely will awake, and you want it to be different that next time.
Chip, what part of the defense surprised you the most on Saturday, just in what happened? What group were you most surprised by? What broke down?
Oh, it was easily, the one stat that was mind-boggling to me was zero sacks. What position group you owe that to, I don't know. I mean, N'Kobe Dean didn't get any. Nolan Smith didn't get any. Trevon Walker didn't get any. Channing Kendall didn't get any. And none of the cornerbacks or safeties got any. Georgia's gotten sacks from all those positions all year long. Nobody could get to the quarterback. Now, there's several reasons. A lot of people are talking about Alabama's offensive line played out of its mind, and it did. But I think it's mainly to Bryce Young. I mean, he got rid of that ball really quick when he couldn't get rid of it quick when Georgia was on him too fast. He evaded the rush, bought time, ran, threw it away. I mean, he played. That's about as good of an individual performance as I've seen since way back in 2019 when Georgia drew Joe Burrows. So, I mean, it was an incredible performance. The defensive backs, I mean, those of us who watch them in every game this year, I think most people realize that Georgia wasn't world beaters in the back end, it's secondary. They've been protected by their front seven, and their cornerbacks certainly aren't bad. Darian Kendrick was named second team All SEC, and his, if you look at Pro Football Focus and those other analytics, his targets and and completion percentage were out of this world. But, you know, he got beat here and there, too, and so did certainly Keely Ringo, who's young, and Georgia safeties are generally pretty good. Christopher Smith was hurt. Dan Jackson was playing instead of him. And, you know, Georgia tried to play William Poole at the star. I think if Tyke Smith's not injured early in the year, this would have been a game he played a big part of. All that said, you know, Jameson Williams runs by everybody he plays. John Metchie, too. He's not going to anymore this year. But, you know, the combination of Bryce Young, those receivers, and then not being, you know, full strength or certainly full experienced in the secondary was fully exposed in that game.
Chip Towers joins us here on the WaitFor.com hotline as we look back and talk about a little bit of Georgia Bulldog football with a man who covers all things Georgia for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. 109 rushing yards. How much was what Alabama took away and how much was as the score started to dictate the fact that Georgia was going to have to throw it around? 109 yards, if they're going to win a national title, it's going to have to be, you know, certainly a more balanced attack than what they had on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia was throwing it around a good bit, really. You know, overall, if you look at the attempts versus rushes and all that, a lot of that had to do with being down two scores, you know, most of the second half. And really, they got in a bit of a scoring match in the second quarter. They couldn't keep up. You know, Alabama scored 24 points, and what did Georgia have, 7 in the second quarter? But they had a lot of opportunities. This is the thing, and I know you'll get around to it eventually, you know, Stetson Bennett and J.T. Daniels. Stetson Bennett wasn't playing awful. There's a little bit of a revisionist, I think, when people look at it. Kirby should have changed quarterbacks at halftime. You know, at halftime, he actually had a better quarterback rating, you know, than Bryce Young did. Now, you know, that's sometimes a slippery slope when you start getting involved in the stats. But the bottom line, he had no interceptions. You know, he had a couple of touchdowns. And you know, Georgia's offense was moving. I mean, they were moving the football. Their red zone issues were real. And the interceptions in the second half were just terrible. And Stetson, it wasn't a good game for Stetson. Now, some of that had to do with the pressure he was getting and the things that Alabama was doing. But some of it was just not a great day. And that happens sometimes. But, you know, I did think eventually in the second half when Georgia gets down two scores and then three scores late, I mean, I don't think there's any excuse for not bringing JT Daniels out. Unless there's something we absolutely don't know about JT Daniels, you know, he's the thrower. There's no question. I mean, he's still got a 73.5% completion percentage. You know, he's a bigger guy. If you knew you're just going to throw all over the place, which is what Georgia was doing late, and his wife Stetson ended up turning the ball over twice, you might as well have had JT Daniels in there. But, you know, that's a story that's not going to go away over the next 3 weeks, and it'll be interesting to see if it gets resolved or if there's any change whatsoever.
Well, and I think the thing, Chip, is when we start talking about this, you know, Kirby said there was never really a point where he thought about making a change at quarterback. And I think the concern that I'll say myself, you know, I'll speak for some Georgia fans, I'll say myself that is he going to be stubborn about this? You know, I know he's going to start Stetson Bennett against Michigan. I have no qualms or no expectation that it's going to be different otherwise. The question becomes, if some things don't go well and they start to get behind, is he ready and willing to pull the trigger? Assuming that JT Daniels is healthy, which you're saying that we don't have an indication that he's not, but is this just going to be stubbornness about not changing the quarterback and, hey, he got us this far, we can still win with him?
Well, you know, there's definitely a stubborn tendency on I don't know if you call it stubbornness or loyalty if you're the quarterback, you know. But we've seen it from Kirby Smart before. Now, again, talking about revisionist history and everything else, you know, don't get me started on Justin Fields and Jake Brown.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same thing.
Right.
You know, he was playing the best quarterback the whole time. I'm not saying Jake Brown's a better quarterback than Justin Fields, but, you know, for that system, for that year, for everything else that were going on, they were winning all the time. You know, he had two losses in 2 years is basically the bottom line there. So So you got to be mindful of that. Excuse me. And you know, that's where I'm coming from. Now, you know, there's only two left. So I think that Kirby, whether it be in the Orange Bowl against Michigan or if they're fortunate enough to advance to the national championship game in Indianapolis, there's no question he would be more – any coach in a last game scenario like that would be quick to change, to, you know, the quarterbacks. But in a scenario like that was, I think one of the things we forget is, you know, I mean, I don't think Georgia was banking on they had another game, but they knew they had at least a bowl game, right? I mean, it wasn't a national championship game. It wasn't do or die. You know, even Alabama in 2018, they had to have that win to advance when they beat Georgia in the SEC championship game. You know, same thing here. Alabama had to win. Georgia wasn't in quite the same situation. I don't think that's why he didn't change it. But my point being, moving forward, you know, I mean, it's sudden death. It's NCAA tournament. And it's just like if you're playing in the NCAA tournament and you're, you know, number one scorer, three-point shooters out there clanking, you know, throwing up bricks for whatever reason, then you're going to bring in somebody else and let him take a shot. There's no question that would be on the table. But what I'm really wondering about, I don't know right now. You know, we haven't been able to see the team, and we only talked to Kirby on a Zoom call Sunday. Is over these next few weeks. They're not doing anything this week. It's final exams. I'm sure by this, you know, the coaching staff is hastily getting together a game plan, finishing up recruiting, and then, you know, by this weekend, you know, they'll have their full attention. And I do buy Kirby's narrative that, you know, they're going to be soaking it up like a sponge now. I think there's some truth to that. I don't know that Georgia was overconfident against Alabama, but I do think that, you know, all you got to do is turn on the tape and you'll see, you know, Jameson Williams go flying by you and Bryce Young, you know, getting rid of the ball just a half second before you get there. You know, they'll see that and do something about it over these next 3 weeks. But the quarterback situation now, I wouldn't expect a wholesale change. But as you were alluding to, I would think there would be much more of a willingness to go to the next quarterback if things aren't moving well.
Chip, last thing for you. I literally just have about 30 seconds left. This is a Michigan front that will come after you. Obviously, Hutchinson's going to be at the Heisman ceremony. That's how good he's been this year. Is Georgia's offensive line ready to handle something like this? We talk about the challenges of Alabama, but this Michigan front really comes after quarterbacks. You think Georgia's offensive line is good enough to hold up and try to slow that pass rush down?
Well, I think they are. You know, obviously Alabama got to Stetson Bennett, but I also thought, I mean, they didn't kind of early. They didn't while it mattered. They started being able to pin their ear backs when Georgia was back down
right,
two and three scores and throwing the ball all over the place. It wasn't until then you heard Will Anderson's name, called, and he had a quarterback hurry and he had a sack. But he wasn't a huge factor in the game, I didn't think. Aiden Hutchinson is same type of guy. So, you know, you're going to line up and you're going to account for him. But I do think they'll be able to combat that. And listen, all due respect to the Big Ten, all due respect to Michigan and Ohio State. They're great teams, but they're not, I don't think they're SEC caliber. I don't think they're the caliber that Georgia goes against every day in practice. So your question is, will they be ready for that? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's going to be a push. It's in other areas in the game that I think where Georgia is in a little bit more danger, and we'll just have to get to the game, you know, before we find out.
Well, it's going to be a lot to break down. You can follow him on Twitter at @CTowersAJC. AJC.com is where you're going to get all of your latest Georgia information as we get ready for New Year's Eve night and national semifinal. Chip Towers, join us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Chip, man, as always, buddy, appreciate it. It's going to be a lot of fun leading up to this, and we got only got two more left, no matter what happens at most. So thanks as always, buddy.
Yeah, you got it. Take care.
You got it. John Chuckery. We'll be back. Sports Radio 910 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening. Remind me, Jarvis, I got to tell you something in the commercial break. I got something I got to tell you that I just saw something that made me laugh, but I want to say something to you, but I can't say it on air. But anyway, yeah, I know that's a bad thing to say on radio, but anyway, we will get to the top of the hour and we will I'll rant about it. I'm gonna get Jarvis involved. But I'm definitely going to rant about the Falcons because I'm as just frustrating watching the same things over and over again. We've obviously talked a lot about Georgia football. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll hear from a little bit later on in the show. We'll hear from Tony Barnhart again at 9:40 and 10:20. I'll talk again about the quarterback situation. It just was a frustrating weekend in Atlanta sports, wasn't it? By the way, this transfer portal in college football, I just saw Max Johnson, the quarterback for LSU, was headed to the transfer portal. And there's some talk about maybe, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs and where he may land right now. And they just lost another one of their running backs at Tech. And, you know, Yates has decided to go somewhere else. I mean, we were talking about this on Saturday. The Fresno State quarterback, who's really good, that kid's in the transfer portal. There are a lot. Let me tell you. Yeah, there are a lot. Well, yeah. Jeff Tedford, how many shots has he gotten on one of those West Coast teams, for God's sake? You know who Jeff Tedford is, right? That's the guy that coached Aaron Rodgers and Marshawn Lynch at Cal. He was the head coach at Cal when those guys were doing their thing. And a different time, different era, but he's been a head coach at about 9 different programs, it feels like. And after that run with Cal, when you have Marshawn Lynch and Aaron Rodgers, it just hasn't quite been the same for Jeff Tedford. But I'll say this, man, if you're looking to try to get better, if you feel like you're close in college football, the transfer portal is absolutely your friend. There are a lot of really good players in the transfer portal, both veteran guys and young guys. You know, you saw, you know, Ewers, the quarterback that went to Ohio State, right? Played his freshman year, didn't play. C.J. Stroud's a Heisman finalist, and he said, deuces, I'm out of here. You know, 5-star. I think I don't know if he was the top kid in his recruiting class or one of the top, one or two top kids or whatever like that. I think he's from the state of Texas, right? It's just crazy. And like I said, Max Johnson, he's a really good quarterback. Kid from Fresno, really good quarterback. Gibbs, obviously, You know, at one point, you know, over the last few weeks of the season, Gibbs was leading the country in all-purpose yards, right? Yards from scrimmage, I guess, is the terminology, right? When you combine his rushing, receiving, and return yards, he was averaging more yards per game than any player in college football. There's a lot of really good players that are popping their heads up in the portal this year. So if you're a team and you feel like you're close and you're a player away or a couple players away, man, the transfer portal is the place to you. And by the way, I love it. If the coaches can do all this nonsense, I want the players to do all of it too. Hey, my only thing is this. As long as you understand the ramifications or, what should I say, the unintended consequences that come with all this. Because, look, right now there are way more kids in the portal than there are spots available, right? There are way more. So there are going to be kids that are going to be left out in the cold, right? We all understand that. But as long as you understand that going into everything, hey, you know, have at it. So I love that. I love the transfer portal. I'm all about the transfer portal. I love it. I got no issue with it. As I said, if the coaches can do all this stuff, the kids should be able to do all of this stuff as well. So, but yeah, it was a frustrating time in Atlanta sports over the weekend. So, but speaking of frustrating, let's get to something that we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's the old saying? That people that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, right? Okay. Does everybody know who Jeff Passan is? The ESPN MLB columnist, right? You see him on ESPN talking MLB and all that kind of stuff, right? Okay. This is his tweet from October 29th and his little statement that he had. The most frustrating, because he says, stop the chop, right? So the most frustrating thing about the chop is how easy it would be to stop. It would be a small gesture. It wouldn't fix any of those generational problems that affect American Indians, but it would, to plenty, return at least a modicum of dignity to a people that have already had so much taken from them. When that eventually happens, we know the journey that Braves fans will undertake because we've seen it before. First, denial and anger. They'll bargain. They'll feel depressed, and eventually they'll accept it because fans don't go to games just to chop. They go to watch the team they love, chop or no chop, and anyone who loves chopping more than Ronald Acuña Jr., Freddie Freeman, and Ozzie Albies clearly has bad taste anyway. Okay, remember all that? Okay. Well, let's fast forward. And Diana Russini, you know her from ESPN, the lovely, wonderful, yes, just wonderful, and she probably smells really nice, wonderful NFL writer for ESPN. She was at a Chiefs game over the weekend. Kansas City Chiefs game over the weekend. Guess who was at the game in a picture with her? Wearing his Kansas City Chiefs pullover. One Jeff Passan. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs who do the chop. Who, by the way, started doing the chop about the same time the Braves did in the early mid-90s. So, let me see if I got this right. Mr. Sanctimonious A-hole, Jeff Passan, one of these guys who probably votes for the Baseball Hall of Fame, so that makes him a sanctimonious A-hole, is criticizing the Braves about the chop while he's getting his picture to go to Diana Russini's Twitter, folks, and check out the picture of her and Jeff Passan together with his Chiefs pullover at the Chiefs game rooting for them. You know, where they do the chop, where they have the... And again, I'm sure somebody's going to say their stupid, idiotic line, well, it's not the same, yeah. Miss me with that whole dumb take. In all honesty, you know what this may... If I had a chance to meet Jeff Passan, what I would do is I'd have a folding chair with me. Because he'd be like, what's that in your hand? And it'd be... The Rock versus Mick Foley, Royal Rumble 99. Chair shot after chair shot to the head. What a hypocritical a-hole he is. He's a dirtbag. He's a lowlife. He's a scumbag. He's a jerkweed. He's a sanctimonious a-hole. And I tell you, I would love to get face-to-face with him and tell him that. I got no damn problem with telling him what a sanctimonious a-hole he is to put out his tweets about the chop and then be at a Chiefs game wearing his Chiefs garb. Where's his sanctimony about the Chiefs and what they do and their chop that they do and have since the Braves have done it and been a part of their culture to do it and their logos and all that? Well, they embrace. Stop it. Just stop it. Stop being a hypocrite. Stop commenting on things that you got no business commenting on. You want to be a sanctimonious a-hole? People need to call you out for it. Because this is one of those moments. Don't do as I do, do as I say. And it's right there on her Twitter page. I saved it. Or what do they call it? Like it. I liked it. I like her, but I like the tweet anyway. And there he is in his Chiefs pullover in the stadium where they do the chop, just like the Braves, in the same length of time that they've been doing it as the Braves have been doing it. But oh no, 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 you don't understand, Chuckery. It's not right if it's not right for the Braves when they chop. But the Chiefs, well, you know, it's different. Oh, okay. So basically you're a sanctimonious a-hole is what you are. I loathe those kind. What, can you hear it in my voice? Is my words coming through loud and clear? I loathe people like Jeff Passan. I loathe people like him. I watch him on ESPN. I got no problem with his baseball takes. But now when I see stuff like this, I loathe those kinds of people. That makes me want to fight somebody like that. Because you want to be all Big Balls Willie, Mr. Sanctimonious about this stuff, and then you turn around and do this kind of nonsense. And even worse is you let yourself get photographed by a lady who's a great reporter who's got 250,000 followers on Twitter. She's got 250,000 followers. He's got 750,000 followers on Twitter. He's got 750,000 followers on Twitter. If you want to be sanctimonious and be a jerkweed about it, don't go to Chiefs games, don't wear your hoodie, and don't be part of the chop and all that. I'll bet you $20 he participated in it because he probably goes to an event like that and nobody probably knows who he is. He's just one more sanctimonious a-hole. I bet you he didn't vote for Bonds and Clemens to go in the Hall of Fame either because, you know, they cheated, even though he probably voted for all 7 MVPs and 7 Cy Youngs that those guys won in their career. And that's just bugging Chuck Reed. Can you tell I loathe people like that? I loathe people like that. I have no use for people like that. To act like that and to be like that out of all of it. So, there you go. And by the way, I already got tomorrow's What's Bugging Chuck Reed too. I had two things that I decided to save it because... Yeah, I got our other guy that we gotta talk about, you know, Mr. Doofus on college football coverage. Got him tomorrow night. I already lined up all the What's Bugging Chuckeries for this week. And I'm all lined up and saved and ready to go for all of it. So we'll talk some Falcons football with you coming up at the top of the hour. We'll hear from Tony Barnhart coming up at 9:40. Don't forget, we got Rankin coming up tonight as well at 10:40. We'll be with you here tonight for a full show. We got tomorrow is a full show. Be with you on Thursday for our hour leading into NFL football. Who's the NFL game? Oh, God, Steelers at the Vikings. Ugh, they should cancel that game. That game should be canceled by the NFL. Steelers and Vikings. Ugh, yuck. But you can listen to it right here on your home of the NFL on Sports Radio after the game. So we'll be back with you on Thursday. And then I think it's going to be pretty spirited on Saturday, by the way, college football game time with myself, Randy, and Chris Goforth. And I'll get back into my UGA talk a little bit later on in the show, but I think it'll be pretty spirited between the three of us because that was immensely disappointing. That those two teams, Georgia and the Falcons, was immensely disappointing to have to sit through and watch and just continue to go down the same road and just be frustrated by some of these things out of all of it, especially coming off the Braves. Everything's lining up for Georgia, that everything lined up for them to win. And look, they still may win the national title, and I hope they do. and I'm rooting like crazy for Georgia to grab a championship and we just become Title Town USA, right? Everywhere we look, right? Hawks make a run. You know, Atlanta United was in the playoffs. I don't know about Tech, but, you know, and Braves will be hopefully back up here soon. Eventually they'll get a, what do you call it, a collective bargaining agreement going for all of it, but just frustrating. I think Georgia missed out on a golden opportunity on Saturday to really make their life a whole lot easier. So we'll see what happens. All right, Falcons coming up here at the top of the hour. Chuck, we're hanging out with you here in the Key Studios on this Tuesday evening. Sports Radio Net to the Game, Odyssey.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.